He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Let's get into our He Said, She Said. It's May 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome. So, Tracy, what's cooking?
What's cooking is cold gazpacho soup. Gazpacho is a cold Spanish tomato-based raw vegetable soup originating in Spain. Gazpacho is widely consumed throughout Spain. The word gazpacho believed to come from the word caspa, meaning residue or fragments, an allusion to the small pieces of bread and vegetables in the original gazpacho soup. Now, I don't put bread in my soup, but you can put bread in your soup. There's many different variations of this soup. Some people like to keep the peels of the cucumber on. Some people take the peel off the cucumber and they deseed it. Some people blanch the tomato and deseed the tomato, where I put the whole thing in. And it's really one of summer's pleasures is gazpacho soup, especially when the tomatoes are beautiful and fresh. And you want to try to get a sweet tomato. Plum tomatoes are really good, but if you add a few cherry tomatoes into that, that really brings out the sweetness. It's a really cooling and refreshing and a great appetizer. I use it as a soup and a salad starter. So instead of serving two separate things, a soup and a salad, I just use the gazpacho soup, and everybody just absolutely raves about it. What I have done in the past is I have put the soup into peppers, like red, yellow, green, orange peppers. You know, I cut them at the top, I deseed them, and then I add the soup into it, and you can just use it as like a cup, and it is really fun and a great conversation piece as well. You can make it ahead of time, and usually soup is always better when you make it ahead of time, so the flavors really seep in. So if you can make it a day or two ahead, you'd be surprised how much better it tastes. Now, tomatoes are a really good source of several nutrients. They are well known for their high vitamin C content and also a significant amount of A, B, including niacin and riboflavin, magnesium, phosphorus, and calcium. They're a great source of chromium, folate, and fiber. So there you have it. I'll give you the recipe in a minute, but what did you think about that soup, Corey? Well, I haven't made it for a long time, but do you remember having that soup?
Yeah, I like the idea of adding it to a pepper, but I'm not big on cold soups for some reason. I'm just not attracted to it. If I was in a restaurant or in a situation where I was given the opportunity to order some, I wouldn't order it. I kind of like hot soups.
Yeah.
But if I'm forced to consume it, or if I'm at a, you know, house party or whatever, and it's part of the deal, then it's down in front of me, and I actually quite enjoy it, you know, and it is, like you say, it's a good source of nutrients, and it's a good primer for what's to follow.
So let's say it's like 100 degrees outside, and it's been like that for a week long. It's really great. It's a beautiful cold soup on a hot, hot day.
I'd rather have a cold beer.
Well, when we have our guests for dinner, you're not going to tell them that you don't like the soup anyways. So there you go. So what we have, I mean, this recipe is going to be on our website, CoreyHawley.com. This makes about, I'm just going to say this really quickly. A serving of 8, you use about 3 cups of tomatoes, sweet preferably. You can seed them if you want and dice them. 2 cups of red bell peppers, medium diced. 2 cups of red onions, medium diced. 1/2 cup of celery, medium diced. 2 cups of cucumbers, medium diced. 2 teaspoons of garlic, minced, because everything goes into the blender. 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar or juice of a fresh lemon. I use the red wine vinegar. 2 cups of organic vegetable or tomato juice, low salt. You can go to your health food store and buy that. 1 pinch of cayenne and 1 teaspoon of cumin. And it's the cumin that really, really makes this flavor. And you can add some chili powder or Tabasco, a pinch of salt and pepper just to taste. You want to add everything together into your blender, blend it all up, and there you have it. Now you can, when you cut everything up, you can take just a few cups of the vegetables and puree them and then have a chunky gazpacho. Or you can puree the whole thing and make it smoother, whatever way you like it. I like mine just a tad chunky, not too much. I puree most of it. But then what I do is I like to add toppings to this. Now you can top it with basil, chopped up basil or cilantro. You can use a drizzle of olive oil. You can add extra green pepper, red onions, and cucumbers. You can add on chunks of crusty bread if you like. You can add some extra shrimp, feta cheese, or green olives, hard-boiled eggs, capers, red onion, a little bit of Greek yogurt, some almonds. The sky's the limit. So what you can do if you want to have a really fun party is you can have your gazpacho soup and then have all these toppings around the table, and then everybody just chooses what they want on it. And that's what I'm going to do. So I've got my soup and salad all at once, and everybody gets to pick what they want. And I think it'll be a fun, kind of interesting topic to start the evening off, is just the soup alone, right?
Yeah, sounds like a good time. I mean, getting people together and feasting on high quality food without compromise. I think it's brilliant.
Now, the thing is, you want to try to buy organic if possible, and really, really wash your vegetables. Make sure they're really, really clean, because if you're using the skins and yada, 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 you want to make sure that it's nice and fresh and clean. So do the best you can to do the best you can and see what happens. Just try it. Just invite some friends over, or make it for yourself. If you've got some leftover vegetables, make it for yourself and leave it in the fridge, or just have it in the fridge. In Spain, what they do is they make a big batch of this and just leave it in the fridge and just take a big drink of it, a cup of it, when they really want to cool down.
One correction, there's no vitamin A in a tomato, okay? You saw that reference there. I remember you said that previously.
Beta-carotene. Sorry.
That's right. So vitamin A is preformed retinol. It's only in animals. It's only in the fat of an animal. There's no vitamin A in any plant in the world. There is provitamin A, or the carotenoid, and that has to be converted inside the body into retinol. And a lot of people can't do that very well, especially as we age, or if they have metabolic syndromes and all kinds of health conditions. So these people that think that they can get away without eating any animal sources of vitamin A are just kind of fooling themselves, because there's lots of evidence to show that people who never, ever get a direct source of vitamin A, which is only in animal fat, can develop a vitamin A deficiency while eating other vegetable sources of provitamin A. That's important to mention. Okay?
Yep, I got it.
Good stuff. Okay. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Joan Vernikos. Dr. Joan Vernikos, she's a former director of NASA's Life Sciences, is an author, health coach, consultant, and sought-after motivational speaker on the tangible health and economic benefits to individuals and organizations to resetting your health for life, living healthy and healthy aging. She's a pharmacologist from the University of London. Her research and publications on the management of stress and how space flight and Earth's gravity affect men and women have been recognized in numerous awards. She also has many award-winning books. So if you want more on Dr. V, I'm going to call her. If you want more on Dr. V's bio, please check CoreyHawley.com. Oh my goodness, Dr. V, she sure packs a punch. She is absolutely amazing. I really got a lot out of this, and it's always nothing that we didn't know, but it's really good to always hear it again. But she says that she's a pacer, and which means that she keeps on the move all the time. And she says, like, you know, you move it or you lose it, right? So the thing, what we want to do in our life is keep on moving. Now, this applies to me, and you and I just had a conversation about this a little while ago, and I said, I can be on the best diet in the world and the leanest diet in the world, but I still would get a little bit of extra body fat if I don't keep moving, because I've always moved my whole life. And the older I get, I work hard, but then I do have my times where I don't move. Like in a day, I'll just stay around in my pajamas. But, you know, not conducive to if you want to keep a lean and mean body. So you've got to keep moving, right? And of course, you agree with that.
This is one of the characteristics of blue zoners. They don't use age as an excuse not to move. They don't use technology as an excuse not to move. This is why I consciously decided not to drive anymore at 50 years of age. That was 10 years ago. I am consciously choosing to live a lifestyle where I have to walk everywhere, like, because I'm convinced, based on the evidence and the science and the research and what's obvious to me, that walking, in addition to the hard Spartan workouts, no matter how hard you work out, no matter how frequently you work out, if you just drive to the gym and then work out hard, and then for the rest of the day, do not move, and you sit, watch TV, you sit in your car, you sit in front of your computer. This is her point. You are missing out on some great longevity value, which will catch up with you when you get to her age, which is like in the 80s, and she's still moving and setting a great example.
Well, this reminds me of the time when I was living in Victoria, and I used to go to the gym and take Ruby with me and the stroller, and we'd run to the gym and run home, and she loved it. But go faster, mommy, go faster. Anyway, my girlfriend had 3 weeks off work for holiday, and she said, let's go to the gym. So she'd pick me up in the car, we'd do a hard workout, and then she'd drive me home. And after 3 weeks, I gained body fat. And I'm going, how in the heck is that? What just happened? And I realized I wasn't running back and forth to the gym 5 days a week like I used to. I was getting a ride. So even that little bit, even if you've got, you're doing hard workouts and you've got a good diet, that extra bit of walking movement, don't underestimate that, right? Anyway, Dr. V worked with NASA before we even knew what NASA was. Right? She's just absolutely amazing working on gravity. And that's what, I mean, I was so busy listening to her interview that I didn't really get to write anything down for my comments, talking about the men in space and in gravity and how gravity is actually good for us and not a negative thing. Like we always think gravity is negative.
Gravity brings everything down, right? But she's stating that it's essential to our health and we have to utilize it as a force. Like when you're in the gym, you're pushing up against gravity or you're pulling a weight against gravity. So in actuality, the effects and influence of gravity are essential when applied and controlled. Like that's what walking is all about. Walking is using gravity to your advantage. But sitting and lying down takes away the influence of gravity. And just like, I remember she stated, like just in a couple of days, like in 2 or 3 days, you start losing bone mass and muscle tissue when you're lying down for long periods of time, like these people that are sick in bed.
Absolutely. Well, also she says the light hours are intended to move. She says even 30 minutes of sitting has shown to increase triglycerides. So if you sit at a desk, get up every 30 minutes to squat. She says even drink a lot of water that forces you to get up to go pee. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then when it's dark, go to bed. Go to bed when it's dark and get up when it's light. And this is the problem with people who have like the midnight shifts, like the graveyard shifts. They're doing everything ass backwards, right? So no wonder they have a lot of health problems. And a lot of them do have health problems because we talk to a lot of those people. Movement is the best strategy for a long, healthy life, she says.
So get creative and find ways to move. Like I just bought a bicycle. There's one way to move. Walk is one way to move. Play ping pong, play sports, get involved with activities, play with your grandkids. When you go to the park, don't just sit there and watch them, but play with them. Find ways to get creative as you age to get movement. The wrong approach is to move less. The right approach as you age is to move more and more and more and more and find a way to laugh.
Right.
That's
yes.
Important too.
Well, she's very concerned about the youth of today. What this next generation is going to bring up because they can't go outside because something's going to happen if they go outside. They have to get driven everywhere. They're so into their video games and their cell phones. Like she's really, really concerned about the disease riddled children. So she says it's doable. Just bring back the joy of movement. She says, become aware of yourself and then take it from there. She says, pay attention to how you sleep. Pay attention to how you eat. Do you have good balance? Do you have bad balance? Just pay attention to what's going on in your body and keep moving no matter what. Now, I don't mean you have to run marathons, but just instead of taking the elevator, if you've got to only go 2 or 3 floors, take the stairs. You know, unless you've got like a lot of luggage to carry or something like that. But just, you know, be wise and start moving more.
Yep.
Thank you.
And if you have a big lawn, don't buy one of those sit-down lawnmowers. You're just going to get fat by using it. Get one of those old-style lawnmowers and actually embrace the movement. This is what you got to do. Most people hate moving. They dislike it. They see it as a tie into poverty and a lower form of living, where in actuality, the opposite is true, because it's the paupers and the peasants in the field who outlived all the kings and the queens with all the money and the dough and the high living stuff. And they're all the ones that died with the serious diseases and got obese. And then they hired the witch doctors and the medicine men and the shamans and the herbalists to come in and heal them. And all the people did when they came in was just, hey, this is what we do. This is how you get well. Just do what we do.
Exactly. Yes. Well, I just thought it was wonderful. And it just gives you a better appreciation for what we do. So keep moving and get walking. Yeah, keep moving and get walking. Thank you, Dr. V. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was a good one. She's back to basics. Okay, so with the time we have left, what is your hot topic?
My hot topic is, how do you live? Does it matter how much money your friends or your family have? Do you really care? Do you think less of them because they don't own a car, they don't own a home, they don't own a boat, they don't own all the bells and whistles? Are you impressed with wealth? And I think, I don't know what got me onto that topic. I don't care for myself what anybody has. It's just how they behave. And are they moving forward? Because you're moving forward doesn't mean that you collect stuff. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about is you really need to take a good look at yourself and wonder why do you need all the stuff? Am I working to buy stuff? Do I want to collect all this stuff? You know, stuff is nice. It can be convenient. It can be comforting, you know, but stuff is stuff. You need to buy it. You need to insure it. You need to manage it. You need to clean it. You need to move it. You know, so it can be stolen or lost or burnt or water damage or fire damage. You know, so the less stuff you have, the more freedom that you should have. And I look at some of these huge, big homes that people have, and there's only two people living there. And I'm thinking, why do you need such a big house? Well, sure, they have friends and family come to visit. But then I think, because I mean, I've had a big home, I've owned a business, I've had a lot of stuff. And I just think that if I have a big house like that, I look at these big, huge homes and I think, I just don't want to clean that. So then you hire somebody to clean it. But then I have to manage that person who's cleaning it because they might not be doing a good job. That person might steal from me. I don't know. I want to be home if these people are cleaning my house. If I have a big pool, then I have to either clean it myself or I have to hire people to clean it for me. Whatever I have somebody else do things for me, I have to manage those people because they might not always do the job that I want done. And then you have to pay these people. So, you know, you'd really do pay for your convenience. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about this a lot. What is it about stuff that people keep getting into? And they'll buy things, then they'll bring them home and they don't even use it. What is it? What is it about that? Do you know, Corey? What is it?
It's about what you think others think about you. Because if you were the only person alive on the planet, all the stuff wouldn't matter at all. Because the animals that were alive with you, like if you had a dog, wouldn't give a rat's ass about how much money you had. And the amount of money that you now have, which is everything on the planet, is irrelevant. What it comes down to now, as the last man alive on the planet, or last woman, is still what's important right now. Your health, your mental constitution, your emotional stability. How well able are you to adapt to the environment? So Voltaire said, that which we own will own us. You can see this today. We see it all the time. People with dogs and pets, the pets own them. The pet is the master. The human is not the master. The human is the pet. The dog or the cat owns that person. Just watch how people behave. And it's true with houses and stuff and where you got to put it and own it and worry about it. I see a massive amount of stress. By nature, I'm not fighting this. I'm a minimalist. I'm naturally not so much opposed to it, but just not attracted to the collection of stuff. I find it cumbersome. I find that as a nomad, like I'm a 21st century nomad. I like to travel light. I like to live light. I don't want to worry about a bunch of stuff. I want to focus on my health and my life and the life and health of others. And so by not having stuff, it frees me because I have to be maintained. You know, the car has to be washed and vacuumed and all that stuff. Imagine if you didn't have one. And if you could have a lifestyle that didn't have one. Imagine how much freedom you'd have. You never have to worry about parking it and people stealing it and insuring it and paying ridiculous amounts of money for gasoline and all the rest of it. It just adds up to this big ball of stress. That's what I see people giving down to. They're just breaking down because of the stress.
Well, I think it's interesting because I was just having a chat with one of my dance students and we're talking about, oh, you don't own a car. And they look at you like, you know, you're like you're a peon, like you have no money. I said, no, we choose not to have a car. If we want a car, we can rent a car. We just go and rent them. Brand spanking new cars. We rent them. And we have a business from home. And I just walk to the studio. It's just walking distance for me. And the car would just be stuck in the garage half the time. So I say, it's our walking lifestyle. We walk to get our groceries. We walk to the gym. We walk to go see our friends and family. Or we take a taxi or somebody picks us up. We don't need a car. You don't need one. I've heard people say, oh my God, I would die without my car. If I didn't have a car, I might as well shoot myself. I'm thinking, really? Are you serious? You would actually shoot yourself if you didn't have a car? I just don't understand it. It just is beyond me. But anyway, I do get it. I understand that if you live like 20 miles out of town in the middle of Nowheresville, that you might need a car. But, you know, there's a lot of times I've seen people just hop in their car to go two blocks down the road to pick up something. And it's like, really? Go walk there. By the time you get the car sorted out and you park and unpark and do this, you'd be there. You'd be home by now. But anyway, it's each to their own.
And that's right. That's exactly what I was just thinking. You know, the Costanza principle, you look at what people are doing and you decide whether or not what they're doing and what they're producing as a result of what they're doing is something that you want. So if you aren't interested in the state that people are in, and the level of unhappiness and discontentment, if you're not interested in that, then you have to connect the dots and find out why. Why are they in that state with such wealth, with such abundance, with such opportunity? Why aren't they happier? Why aren't they more complete? Because you and I have met people in third world countries that are by far happier than most people we've met here in Canada, right? Yeah. And they got nothing except they have beauty all around them. You know, like tropical settings and oceans and lands, which they appreciate. And a lot of people here don't appreciate nature. That's part of the problem, too.
Right. But anyway, that's the way it goes. There you have it. Stuff.
Good stuff. Okay, so what's your final word?
My final word is by Omar Suleiman. The sign of a beautiful person is that they always see the beauty in others.